That will be in Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. It's good to have that. Shauna, I'm away from Pennsylvania. I'm away from home. So, how are you doing? Glad you're here. She's one of those that's vacation here, but still came to church. That's good. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 4, real quickly, one verse of scripture. Many of us know this, many of us have heard it hundreds and hundreds of times. The scripture said, and they were all filled. Everybody say all. Everybody there that day was filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a conjunction, it's not separating the thought there. It's not separating that. So it is all. We're talking about all, right? All were filled with the Holy Ghost. And continuing that thought, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. As the Spirit gave the utterance. God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. Reading a little excerpt from the book that's called Life of Integrity tells a simple parable that makes a point that I want to use even here this morning. And I'll read it to you just real quick and in short and cut out a bunch of other stuff and just kind of give it to you in short to give you my thoughts here this morning. And that is, a prosperous man was making a long journey, and in his bag he packed all of his valuables. All of his money, all of his jewels, everything that was extremely valuable to him. A thief started to follow him along the way, pretending to be a friend, and waiting for the perfect opportunity to steal the wealthy man's riches. The rich man was aware of his motives and thought of a plan. Each night, as he would stop at a local hotel, he would invite the thief to share a room with him. Once inside, the rich man would say, "Here's a towel, friend. You go and wash up for the night." While the thief took his shower, the rich man would hide his treasures. When the thief returned to the room, the rich man would go and bathe likewise. While away, the thief searched frantically for the riches. He looked in the rich man's luggage, searched in his closet, searched the drawers and under the bed, between his mattress, under the rich man's pillow, but the treasure simply could not be found. At the end of the journey, the rich man boarded a train to go home. And he called out to the thief and he said, "I know why you have been following me. You've been trying to steal my treasures. Each night you have looked in my bags. You've searched the closets. You've rummaged through every drawer. You've looked under my bed. You've looked between my mattress. You've even looked under my pillow. The one place you never looked was under your own pillow."
That's funny.
"The treasure was closer than you thought." The treasure was closer than you thought. And I began to think about that particular statement, and that's what I'm going to preach this morning. The treasure is closer than you think. The treasure is closer than you think. Amen. What are the benefits? When I say benefits, I will interchange that word with treasures. What are the treasures of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Many think that it's just a mere time of speaking with other tongues. And indeed, this is true, but as we have used and termed or coined the phrase, that speaking in tongues is the initial. Everybody say initial.
Initial.
It is the initial evidence
of receiving the Spirit of God. You see, those that I read in our text this morning that received the Holy Ghost began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. They did not learn it in some back room with somebody saying, "See me tie my tie, see 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 me tie my tie," until somebody gets tongue-tied. And it sounds like some foreign craziness. No, but it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. It is of the utmost importance in this day because that is exactly, and I know this firsthand because I was in a Bible bookstore one day and they had a class that was in the back room of the Bible bookstore. Over the top of it, it said, "Class is in session on how to speak in tongues." And that's exactly what was being done behind that curtain as the teacher would give them phrases to say over and over again. And as I sat there, I was intrigued because I wanted to see really what was the whole deal that day. And I sat there up against the wall, and there was tapes and CDs and stuff on the wall here, and there was the door. And I sat there, and I leaned there, and I listened, and I started crying, and I started praying. I said, "Oh God, this is so shallow, it's so empty." And then for about 30 minutes afterwards, I sat there a long time, and I listened, and the lady that was teaching finally told the student, "See there, now you got the Holy Ghost. You just practice this over and over again, and that's the Holy Ghost." Wow. And the person said, "Oh, okay. I just need to practice these phrases over and over again." And she said, "Yep, that's all you need to do." And I sat there amazed. I was actually in shock because they came out of the room right away, and I was still standing there, and they both looked at me and I was in shock. I couldn't say anything. In my mind I wanted to scream. I wanted to punch the teacher. That wasn't the Holy Ghost coming out of me. That was my flesh. But at the same time, there's so many different emotions that I was feeling. And I was only 18 years old at the time. And I didn't, I couldn't wrap my brain around it because I had personally experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And nobody taught me how to speak in tongues. Amen. Nobody coerced me. Nobody said, "Do this and do that." No, I got the Holy Ghost like the Bible said. Amen. As the Spirit gave the utterance. And I became a new creature in Christ. That old man wasn't the same person that it always had been. But that was just the beginning of my journey. I said that was just the beginning of my journey. We know that it was just the initial evidence. Paul even says this in 1 Corinthians 14 and 18. He said, "I thank God that I speak in tongues more than y'all." And he was talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to go into any of that today. I'm just talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Many say, "Okay, I've got the Holy Ghost. Now what? What do I do now? Okay, you made a big deal about me getting it, so now I got it. Now what do I do with it?" I know some people that they got the Holy Ghost and they literally have just marked it off of their list of things to do from Scripture. Okay, I got baptized. Okay, I got the Holy Ghost. Okay, I feel something different, but now what do I do? And it's as if there is a list of things to do. Okay, so now what? And it's more than a list of things to do. And sometimes I haven't taken the time to go into that it is so much more than just a marked experience, just something to mark off your list of things to do and say, "Okay, I'm a Christian. Okay, I got that what the Bible said." That it is far more than just a to-do list. I'm somebody that's very, very close to me that has done this very thing. And I am so troubled. I am so disturbed because I want to scream and say, oh, you are missing out. Yes, God filled you with the Holy Ghost and you spoke in tongues one time, but once wasn't enough. I want to scream. I want to say, what a tragedy. You are lacking in so much more that God has for you.
Amen.
If receiving the Holy Ghost is just something to mark off on our list, you and I have missed the blessings of the Spirit of God. So many, even of this day, they're looking for power. They're looking for protection. They're looking for an ability to overcome their sinful nature. They're looking for a hope of a brighter future. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking. They desire spiritual gifts. They desire a progressive change in their life. Yet they never realize the treasure that is closer than they think. The treasure that is closer than they think. They want all of these things, and it is as if it is something out there that they're looking for. They're looking under the bed. They're looking in the closet. They're looking in the chest of drawers. They're looking everywhere, but right under their own pillow.
Right.
Right in their own life. And I'm going to bring that down all together. And I just gave you a little bit, a tidbit there of where I'm really going in here this morning. All of these and more. All of these things that I did, the power, the protection, the ability to overcome, hope for the future, wisdom, spiritual gifts, changing your life. All these can be found in this experience that you have in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It is all available if you continually stay plugged in to the power source. When I begin to think about that, how many of you ladies like a vacuum? Oh, there's some of you rather go ahead and go back to a broom and a dust mop and stuff? You'd rather just shake out your whole entire carpet in your living room? Is that the way you like to do it? Just shake it out? No, there's none of you that would like to take that nice living room carpet or that bedroom carpet because it needs to be vacuumed.
Right.
You wouldn't want to have to move your bed and your chest of drawers and all that stuff every single time just to shake that rug out.
Right.
Huh? No, you're thankful for a vacuum, but that vacuum is virtually useless in the closet right with its cord wrapped around the handle, isn't it?
That's right.
Until you plug it in. I'm going to tell you today, I don't ever want to go back to a handsaw. Not after using a skill saw. Absolutely not. There is nothing remotely interesting in going back to an old-fashioned handsaw. I'm not interested. I'm not interested, and I know from time to time it's okay, and you need a hand screwdriver. But I'm not interested in screwing off in a deck that's 1,500 square foot of decking and have to screw it off with a hand screwdriver.
Right.
No, I want to plug something in.
Right.
I want to get this done today, not 6 months from now.
Right.
And I do want to have a wrist left when it's all said and done.
Right.
I'm thankful for these inventions.
Yeah.
Now, here's where some of us, here's another one that many of us will appreciate. Some of you ladies, some of the ladies will appreciate this. How about that curling iron or that crimper or that whatever device that you use? It's useless unless you plug it in.
Right.
Huh? This shirt was a wrinkled mess and it already is now because I've been wearing it from early this morning. But when I first took it off the hanger, it was really bad. I sure was glad when I took that iron, I plugged it in there, and I started ironing it, and all the wrinkles start coming out. I go, man, you know, that's not a bad shirt.
Right.
But before, it looked like I came out of the trash can. It was a mess. How about that swamp cooler? Oh, man, that air conditioner right now on top of the roof would do us no good if it wasn't plugged in. That swamp cooler back there in the back wouldn't be doing us any good. How about that cell phone? Oh, yeah. Just let somebody go without a charger for a little while, and they'll go into pure panic mode. They almost have to be rushed to the ER. That's when they act. Oh, no, I got 10% of my phone. They start going into cardiac arrest because their cell phone is fixing to die. It's like they couldn't live without their cell phone. That's all right. Come on now. And so you got to put that thing in order for it to be useful. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In order for those things to be useful, you've got to keep them plugged in. Can I use that as a Holy Ghost today? God can give you the Holy Ghost. And in that package, you have power, you have protection, you have hope, you have the ability to overcome. And benefit, but if you don't keep it plugged in, it won't do you any good. You can say, yeah, I got the Holy Ghost, but it will never give you the power that you would love to enjoy. It'll never give you the ability to overcome sin that you hate so much. It'll never give you the ability to progress in your walk with God if you don't keep it plugged in.
Amen.
So the Holy Ghost, just because you got it one time back in whatever day, just because you got it some time ago, if it's not continually plugged in, it becomes useless.
Amen.
Now I'm gonna take some time here and give us some a biblical short list. I'm gonna call it the short list because we ain't got time to do the long list. All right? I'm going to give you the short list of the benefits or the treasures that we find because of the Holy Ghost. First of all, we're going to talk about the power to witness. The power to witness. Acts 1 and 8 said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." Sister Ruth, guess what? Next time, that power will be there when you need it to do it according to your heart's desire. Amen. Is it? No, I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to stand here because I've got the power of the Holy Ghost. It will give you power. The Bible said, "After that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Guess what? We're in the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. So that includes us. It wasn't somewhere back there. It wasn't for them in that day. It is a relevant situation of today. We are the uttermost part of the earth. Some people want to say, the Bible was way back then. It was all this, and it's not relative today. It's very relative today. It is written in such a way that it means that what it says today, as it did 50 years ago, as it did 200 years ago, as it did 1,000 years ago, whenever it was written, I'm telling you, it is the same. Amen. And it is relative to your ability to living for God. You see, before those before the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, look at those disciples. If you look at those disciples before they got the Holy Ghost, they were running scared. They were hiding. They didn't.
Right?
Yeah. Peter even started cussing spree. He went back to his old carnal nature. His old fishing nature came out in him, and he went back to cussing.
That's right.
Come on. Yeah. Say, why do that every once in a while? Well, guess what? You ain't been working with the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the power of the Holy Ghost will clean up your mouth.
Will.
And so here he is. He's warming himself with strange fires. He's denied. I know him not. Blankety blank blank. Beep, 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 beep. That wasn't the Roadrunner. But when he got the Holy Ghost on that day, he was one of the all that got the Holy Ghost. He was one of those that began to speak in other tongues. Oh, hallelujah. He got up with boldness. He got up with power. And he began to preach and declare and proclaim and explain the gospel of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 were saved that day. 3,000 were added to the church that day. Because somebody got plugged in to the power of the Holy Ghost. And it just couldn't stay with them. And isn't it funny that every one of these things that I've talked about, machine-wise, that you plug it in and that machine affects something?
Yeah.
It affects everything that it touches. A skill saw affects that wood.
Oh, yeah.
A vacuum cleaner affects the carpet.
Yeah.
A swamp cooler affects the atmosphere. Come on, I'm telling you, when you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll affect everything around you. There will be an effect that happens on everything that you touch, that you speak to.
That's right.
Some of you don't believe that.
Right.
Maybe I can get you to believe here in a minute. Amen. But after Pentecost, they were strong. They were willing to stand up, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Romans 8 and 11. This Holy Ghost that I'm talking about gives us power to go up in the great catching away. Or what most even coin the phrase, because this is not a biblical phrase, the rapture. Rapture's not in the Bible. You'll get people that will want to say, well, you guys talk about the rapture, and the rapture ain't even there. You're right. The rapture isn't in the Bible. Neither is the Trinity. So, and you talk about the Trinity more than you talk about the rapture.
Right.
So, if I use the word rapture, I'm referring to the catching away. Now, that is a biblical term. The scripture uses it, caught up. That they were caught up. There's multiple places that it uses that phrase and doesn't use rapture. But for the sake of you understanding what I'm talking about, amen, this Holy Ghost gives us the power to be caught up. Romans 8 and 11 said, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Everybody say, dwell in me.
Dwell in me.
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. You've got to have the spirit in order to be quickened, in order to be caught up. Amen. And he's talking about the dead being raised up. What powerful words when we realize and we get excited about that he is risen. He's alive. He is, I'm going to tell you, there's coming a great day that's going to be said. He's alive. He is risen. In the dead and gone, the Bible tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first and be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord, to be with him forever. Is anybody thankful for that today? I'm talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse 13 said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, there's that term, together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, I like this. This is an instruction. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But you've got to have the Holy Ghost. That same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, it's got to dwell in you. Amen. If you're going to be a part of the catching away. But it gives us power to become or to be the sons of God. For as many of you as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Notice in that setting of scripture, Romans 8 and 14, it is a capital S. It is led by the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of God leads us, not from some distant throne or control center, if you will, but from our hearts. While I was going, I went to church and Brother Mirafort preached about the heart. And I just preached on this last Sunday, even ourselves, about meditating in his word. And that our about our heart. And that our heart is often referred to this thing, pumping. Which here in our society, we have a heart as the emotions. But that's not the way the Bible has it. When it talks about the heart, it is talking about the mind. It is talking about, that's why David said, amen, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I got it engraved in my mind. It's not an emotional deal. You know why? Because our emotions are up and down. Up and down. But when you understand, when you get something of knowledge, when you know something of a fact, amen, it doesn't change. That's why we can say with confidence, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord, and he changes not. Why do we say that? We say that because we have it in our mind. But that's not always the way we feel in our heart, is it? No, we're like, wait a second, God. Now, and that's why we quote the scripture. And we say, God, you said you would not change. That you are the same, because it's in our mind, and our emotions are going all funky, and they're doing all kinds of crazy things, and that's why we need the Word of God. We need the Word of God to help us, lead us, and guide us. Amen. If you skip down to verse 16 in the same chapter, Romans chapter number 8, the Spirit itself beareth witness of our spirit. The Spirit itself, capital S, God's Spirit, amen, beareth witness of our spirit, small s, that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. So, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Are you thankful for that today? I'm going to tell you, there's more benefits to the power of the Holy Ghost than just marking it off on your checklist. We have become heirs of the Father, Jesus Christ. He is the heir of all things. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 2 said that we are become joint heirs. Revelations 21 and 6 said, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give unto him that a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Oh, I want to be a son, but I just can't have the Holy Ghost and only bring it out to when I need it. I've got to stay plugged in. I've got more at my fingertips. I've got got more benefits and treasure at my fingertips than what I realize. If we go on a little further, it gives us power to pray. Have you ever experienced those times when you didn't know what to pray? Every hand ought to be going up. Amen. I've been there, and I've been there, and I've been there again. But oh, something about going to a place of prayer, and then the Spirit of God begins to move. And all of a sudden, it's not a struggle for me to pray. Amen. It's not difficult for me to pray, because the scripture said in Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. It's the Spirit of God that helps my weaknesses, that helps the frailties of my flesh, that helps me when I'm stumbling and fumbling and bumbling around. It's the Spirit of God. Oh, I know y'all may get tired of hearing me say it. Oh, we got to pray through. We got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to tell you that vacuum has no power unless it's plugged in. That saw has no power. None of those devices that you have any power if they're not plugged in. And neither do you. You got to stay plugged in. If you're going to get all the benefits, if you're going to have all the treasure, if you're going to have all the riches. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what the mind of the Spirit is, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will. Let me tell you, you want to know what the will of God is for your life? Find yourself full of the Holy Ghost. Find yourself under the anointing of God's Spirit. Get in that place where you are speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And I'm going to tell you right then, where your way may seem all distorted and not know where to go, it'll bring clarity to the will of God in your life. He'll lead you and he'll guide you. Tell there's some Holy Ghost filled people in here that don't believe what I'm saying, because I can tell by your response. I can tell by your response you don't believe what I'm preaching. You got the Holy Ghost someday down the road, somewhere back there, but you don't really believe that God will be the sin, but will give you and guide you and give you the will of God in your life. The reason why is because you just mark the Holy Ghost off as something to do, but it ain't something to do. You got treasure closer than you think. I said you got treasure closer than you think. My Lord, have mercy. He is interceding for us. He knows, the Spirit knows the will of God, knows the will of God for our life. It prays accordingly. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to go. I don't know what to say. I don't know a lot of things. But oh man, when I get into the place and the Holy Ghost can move, God, when I get to the top of my head to the soles of my feet, but there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that gives me direction. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm appealing to you today. Today's a good day for you to get plugged in. Today's a good day for you to get plugged in. Because I feel that there's far too many people that, again, marked it off of their list, and they know,